Morning and welcome each one here. It's awesome to have been here to worship together already. And just with the giving of shoeboxes, an act of worship to our God. I've just been reminded that this is going on all over the world. And it's actually an economy stimulus booster that the Grahams have done. Because think of all the money that was spent on these shoeboxes. But it's awesome to think that, and I'd love to go with the shoebox and deliver it, because just to see the faces and the gratefulness and the message of Jesus that goes with these boxes, it's awesome. And it's become a highlight of our Christmas giving at home. Well, we had a good week in New York. Got lost once, just had to go around the block, so that's pretty good. The food is awesome. I don't know if I've ever eaten food a whole lot in New York, but it's a good place to eat. But it's also a good place to be fed. And and you think of, I don't know if ever you heard of Ravi Zacharias, he was there, caught a few words. He actually has a heart for pastors, and that's what it was about, encouraging pastors and leaders. But you know, you look at men like Ravi and Jim Cimbala and Francis Chen, you say, wow, these are great men. But there's men who have been faithful to God, faithful in their calling to God. And that's what he wants for each of us here today, to be faithful to where God has called you. God has called me. I guesstimate there's probably 200 people here this morning, 250, somewhere, 220, somewhere in there. And my question to you is this morning, how many of you are alive? And you may say, duh. I'm here, I'm alive. But how many are truly alive? How many of you are you experiencing the life that Jesus intended for you to experience? That abundant life. The life that Jesus paid his life on the cross for. He gave his life for you. How many of you are experiencing that abundant life that God intended you to live? That inexpressible joy. That peace in the midst of a storm. The happiness, regardless of what's going on around you. The love that knows no end. How many of you are experiencing that this morning? Where our deepest hungers are satisfied and our deepest longings are satisfied. Is that a dream or is it reality? Is it a dream or reality? Those of you who attend regular, I've been preaching out of John 10:10 for the last little while. And you can turn to it if you don't know what it is. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but to steal," and notice the progression, "steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly." And we've looked at this passage. The first sermon I talked about was that we've been robbed. A thief has come into our lives and has robbed something from us. For example, maybe your passion you had for the Lord, it just waned away. No, it just didn't wane away. Someone stole it. Someone stole it from you. And that's our enemy, Satan. Then I looked at our enemy, Satan, his plan to destroy us. But one of the two things that stand out to me as I think about that is, number one is defeated foe. And number two is he can make you do nothing. Satan can make you do nothing. He has no control to make you do anything. And next, I wanted to look at the armor that God has given us to fight this battle. That we are in a battle, and it's a fierce battle. And God has given us armor to protect us in the battle. And I ask you this morning, how's the battle going? How's the battle going for you? Is it pretty hard? Is it rough? Have you been victorious? Have you been faithful? Have you put the armor on? Do you even care about the battle? How about the belt of truth? Do you have the belt of truth firmly around you? Are you grounded firmly in what the Word of God says? And what God says about you amidst all the voices that are around us, the belt of truth? How about the breastplate of righteousness, living by God's standards and not our standards? The breastplate of righteousness. How about the helmet of salvation? With all the voices around you today and in our world, do you have your helmet securely on, protecting your mind? The helmet of salvation. How about the feet shod of the preparation of the gospel? Are you firm and are you grounded in what you believe? Are you ready to go where God has called you to go? With the sword of the Spirit right by your side, rightly dividing right and wrong, truth and error. The shield of faith, which God has promised will stop every dart that Satan throws at us. All the fiery darts Satan throws at us, it will stop. The shield of faith. And the more we use it, the better we get at it. Raising our shield of faith. And the more thankful we are, the more our faith will increase. The more thankful we are for what God has done, the more our faith will increase as we go forward. And the last one he talks about is prayer. Your constant communication with headquarters. You can't go without it. You have to be surrounded in prayer. Scripture says you have not because you ask not. How's your prayer life? God has given his children everything we need to be successful. Everything. Everything we need. How many remember when your mother sent you off to school and she said, make sure you have this, take your vitamins, make sure you have your coat on, your hat, your gloves, whatever. She cared about you. And you went out the door, yeah, Mom, I'm all right. I can handle this. I don't need all this pampering. I'm 6 years old or 10 years old or whatever. How many times have we handled God the same way? God, I can handle it. I'm all right. I don't need it. Do you ever stop and think who you're arguing with? You're arguing with God. What's your chances of winning? God said you need it. You better do it. Because God knows that we're in a war. We're in a battle. And he's given us the armor we need to protect us. And that brings us to what I call the dilemma. Of the reality that we are at war. Whether we like it or not, we are at war. But yet God has intended us to be fully alive. So we're at war, but yet be fully alive in the same verse. We have someone who is after us, a thief, wants to kill us and destroy us. The abundant life, but we're going to have to fight for it. It's not going to be rolled to us on a silver platter. Like C.S. Lewis said, there is no neutral ground. Every inch, every second is claimed by God or by Satan. That's how real it is. Every inch, every second is in control of God or Satan. There's no neutral ground. And the fact is, we were born into this world of a combat zone. The forces of heaven, the forces of hell are all around us. But in the midst of this, God says, I want you to have life. I want you to have abundant life. Not just life, abundant life. Scripture says our life is but a vapor. Some live longer than others, some shorter. But life is like a vapor. And it's in that vapor And it's in that fight that determines our destiny. Such a short time. We don't like to talk about war. We shy away from war because it's ugly. It's gory. It's bloody. There's fatalities. None of us like war. But it's been with us ever since the garden. When man listened to the serpent, when the woman listened to the serpent. And ever since, God's been fighting for our restoration. God's been fighting for us to restore us back to himself. You think of the children of Israel. Yeah, you can read it, and there's a war here and a war there. But in reality, it was God fighting for his people to come back. And he's still doing that today for you and me. He's fighting for us to come back. Come back to a relationship to him, to be fully alive. And it was in the garden that man believed that he can be fully alive outside of God. I don't need to listen to God. I can be fully alive. I can have all my wants and desires fulfilled and be fully alive. But that communion with God was broken. Think about the communion Adam and Eve had with God. That just what we long for, that constant communication with God, it was broken. And ever since, in each one of us, is a desire and a longing to be fully alive. To have that relationship restored. To be free, to experience that abundant life. And I believe ever since, every sin of mankind can be directly linked to that desire to be fully alive and to be free. But they're trying to find it outside of God. To fill that void in our lives. I believe in each one of us, we long to be free. We long to be alive. But what I said before, we're in a war, we're in a battle, and the enemy has a different message. A different plan, a different picture of what freedom looks like. It's a drink that won't satisfy. It's a footing that just won't support us. It's like quicksand. We go down and down and down. Our world is full of empty, dissatisfied people. Looking everywhere to fill that longing inside of us. Whether it's wealth, materialism, power, pleasure, prestige, possessions, knowledge, religion, you name it. Everyone has an answer to fill that longing in our hearts to be fully alive. Proverbs 14:12 says, "But there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end is what? The end is death. There's a way that seems right to man, but the end is death." Does that seem like it's fully alive? We see emptiness and ruined lives. And we say, it's out there. It's out there. But wait a minute. In my imagination, I pictured, and this isn't from the Bible, I pictured Satan and his cohorts gathering together in a war room somewhere, strategizing, how are we going to get man to fall? How are we going to get man's attention away from God? How do we do it? How can I distract them from following their God? I can imagine them thinking of different plans, and they come up with a plan that if we can make people feel alive like Jesus wants them to be without a relationship with God, I think we can get them. I think we can get them. I'll tempt them to be fully alive with power, with stuff, with nicer and better, with position, with sex, with addictions, whatever, to be fully alive. And then when they attain these things, it's not going to satisfy. It's not going to fill. They'll just want more, and they'll want more, and they'll want more. Do you ever have this thought go through your mind that when I attain what I want, what I long for, then I'll have arrived. Then life will be grand, be glorious. But when you get to that position, there's still you. You still carry the stuff with you. It's not as grand and glorious as we thought. Satan has tricked us. When I get to be CEO, then I will. But when I get there, it's not what I thought it would be. Satan has tricked us. And you know that message is being pumped into us every day. Being plastered and pumped into our lives. It's been pumped into us that if you stop and think, or if I stop and think, I think that way too many times. That if I get this or if I get that, then I'll be happy. Then I'll be satisfied. If I just had more money, could pay the bills faster, and didn't have debt or didn't have this or didn't have that, then when I get there, man, I can sit back. Life will be grand. I'll be alive. I'll be fully alive. But guess what? There's hundreds of people every week come to the place where it said, it ain't there. And they take life into their own hands and end it. They say it's a mirage. It's not out there. It's not worth it. What a depressing picture. Imagine if it ended there. Imagine if it ended there. That's where the good news of the abundant life comes in. Jesus said, I am come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. More abundantly, in the midst of all the killing, in the midst of all the stealing, in the midst of all the destroying, I have come that you may have life. Not just life, abundantly, abounding. Be that light, be that salt. Are you thankful that God saved you this morning? Are you thankful that God redeemed you? Are you thankful God has given you life, abundant life, in the midst of a world at war? You can have peace in the midst of the storm. You can have joy in the midst of sorrow. Are you experiencing that abundant life? The abundant life to have more and above and beyond. Have so much more. And I believe it all starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Of coming to the end of ourselves in our way of living and following God with all your heart. Turn to Matthew chapter 10, verse 30. I'll find it here. Matthew chapter 10. Yeah, it talks about what the cost of following Jesus. And let's start at verse 38 and 30, just read 38 and 39. And he that taketh not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my name's sake shall find it. What an awesome verse. Totally opposite to what we've been pumped with. Totally opposite to what we've been bombarded with in our world. That our world tells us that if you find out your life, the way that you think you should go, what makes you happy, go for it. The scripture tells us, no, it's when we lose our lives and give up our lives to God that we find life, we find become alive, fully alive in the presence of God. To abandon our way of living, which is totally against God. Jesus said, I want to fill you with so much more. We try to fill our life with emptiness, with the emptiness in our lives, with stuff, with you name it. I can only talk for my life, what I tried to fill it with. But Jesus wants to fill it with so much more. And all these things that Jesus wants to fill you with is stuff that money can't buy. The things that money can't buy. Turn to Galatians 5. Very familiar. Galatians 5:22, very familiar to us. It just talks about, before these verses, about those who walk after the flesh and some of the things that they do and are involved with. But 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Jesus wants to fill us with so much more than we've experienced on our own. He wants to give us the love, the joy, the peace that only comes from Him, from trusting in Him, from giving up or giving our lives to Him. In the midst of a world at war, this is what Jesus wants from us. This is what Jesus gives to us in the midst of the battle, the love, the joy, the peace that only comes from Him. What's more compelling? A man on a billboard smiling as he admires his new Cadillac or whatever car it is. What's more compelling, that? Or a beloved believer friend of yours who has gone through a hard time that shows such peace in the midst of a storm? When life is on the line, when times are hard and tough, what are you drawn to? A shiny Cadillac or the peace that comes from God? That's the only thing that's going to sustain us during hard times, is our relationship with God and what He gives us as we surrender our life to Him. It's not our position. It's not the new car. Again, we have to reprogram our minds because we've been bombarded with what makes us happy is stuff and things and position and wealth and you name it. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, man, sometimes I'm so far from what God wants. I thought about the woman at the well. She was longing. She had a thirst that could not satisfy. And when Jesus talked about something that satisfied, she was excited. She wanted it. It's what we're designed to operate out of. It's back to the garden, that communion with God, out of a relationship with Him. We're not going to do it on our own. It's the oil our motors were made to run on. It makes us run, our lives run smooth. And that brings me to the last point of a place of surrender. He that finds his life shall lose it, but he that loses his life shall find it. Of giving up of his life, giving up my life, my way of doing things, my way of filling that void in my heart, that's when we'll find life. There's six words that I want you to think about this morning as we think about where the abundant life is. Jesus said, "I am come that you may have life and more abundantly." And then in Matthew 10, we saw how we must lose our lives or give our lives to God. I want you to think about this phrase. And maybe you're here this morning with a longing to be fully alive. To be fully alive, to be free from bondage, free from guilt. To be free. To be alive. Lord, the phrase is, Lord, I give my life to you. That's a threshold of life. That's a threshold of abundant life. You walk through that door of surrender, giving your life to God, saying, Lord, use me. Lord speaks of a brokenness, of a humbleness, of coming before God. Lord, I. It's something that you must do. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for your neighbor. You can't do it for your friend. It has to be from you. Lord, I give. I give willingly with my open hands. It says, Lord, I give my life to you. I give with no reservations, with open hands. Lord, I give. Lord, I give my. I give what I thought was mine. My life. I thought it was mine, but it ain't working. Lord, I want to give it to you. I give my life. Life, my goals, my ambitions, my dreams, my wants, my longings, my passions. Lord, I give my life to you. Lord, I give my life to you in recognition that you're all powerful and that I give it to you for your timing, for your purposes, for your goals. Whatever you want from me, Lord, I give to you. Galatians 2:20. Let's turn to that. Galatians 2:20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, who gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. I give up my life to you, God. I give it to you. Paul says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, it says, I die daily. It's a daily coming before God of surrender. Because we're in a war, world at war, and who's fighting to get a message across that happiness and satisfaction comes outside of Christ. You don't need Christ. But Paul says, I need to die daily to that desire within me to fulfill that longing. He says, I die daily. You may say, I've gone too far. I've done too many bad things. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul is talking to the Corinthians. And it talks about some of the things they were involved in. It says, in times past, you were involved in these things. But now you are washed. God's about redeeming. He's about redeeming you from your bondage, from destruction. He wants to make you free and fully alive. Fully alive. That abundant life. This morning you may be here for the first time and you've never accepted the Lord. And you've never given your heart to God in surrender, and you're tired of fighting. You're tired of trying on your own. You must say, Lord, I give my life to you. Remember, God is speaking to you about the emptiness within you, and you're a believer, and that you've been trying, listening to the devil too long. You've been trying to fill that void on your own, and God's calling you back. Says, it's not the answer. It's not the way it's meant to be. God's just waiting to fill you with that thirst quenching. Just waiting to fill that longing in your heart. To restore you back to communion with him. This morning, if I want to leave the altar open to you, if you want to come up and pray, we'll pray with you. If God is speaking to you, it's just been a burden on my heart this week that maybe someone is here who's in just wants to be fully alive. Alive in Jesus. You're tired of fighting. You're tired of struggling. You just want to give to God. Lord, I give my life to you. Let's bow our heads and pray. And if you want to come up to the altar and pray, I open up to you and we'll pray with you, however the Spirit leads. Calling us to yourself. Lord, ever since the garden, you've been calling man to yourself to be restored to fellowship. And Lord, I just pray that Satan would be bound this morning, Satan would be defeated. Lord, the enemy is feeding us a message that happiness and fulfillment in life comes outside of you. You tell us in Matthew 10 that in order to gain life, we need to lose it and give our life to you. So Lord, just pray that your Spirit move in our hearts. Father, thank you for meeting with us today, for speaking to our hearts, for calling us to yourself. Lord, I just pray that if there's those here who are fighting, or just pray your grace and mercy would go with them and continue to call. Lord, I just pray that our hearts would be in total surrender to you and for your will for our lives. And that our fulfillment comes from knowing you and serving you. You'd fill us with your fruit of love, and joy, and peace. Lord, I just pray that as we go from here, we'd be that shining light to let this world know that there is peace in Jesus, that alone that we can be filled and satisfied in Jesus. In your name we pray.